Bandwidth for all shows on the Aussie Tech Heads network is supplied by Aussie Tech Heads web hosting. For a fast, affordable and reliable Australian server with fantastic support, contact Aussie Tech Heads web hosting at aussietechheads.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's best hosting service. This is Aussie Mac Zone. We'll cover everything Apple, including Macs, iPhones, iPads, and more. All this from an Aussie perspective. Sit back, relax, insert yourself into the zone. The Aussie Mac Zone.
Welcome to another episode of Aussie Mac Zone. How's it going? www.aussiemaczone.com.au, where you will find us. And the webpage, more precisely, you won't find us. It's like living in a post office box. No, we don't. All right, welcome to another show, another week, another show. And we've got a few things to get through tonight. We've got a winner of one of those iTunes gift vouchers to announce later on. And we can tell you, yes, round of applause from the masses, the virtual studio audience. And we've got a few things to get through. We've got that. We've got some news. We've got some tips and tricks and a question from me once again. I've got a question every week, don't I? All right. Now, let's get stuck into these sort of things and let's welcome Michael. Hi, Michael. How you doing?
Hello, everybody. Doing great. That's good to be here.
Good, good. What have you been up to this week?
I learned a lot this week. Lots of little things, which we'll bring up tonight. And, yeah, just rocking on.
Excellent. Excellent work. Excellent work. Now, we must say that the show is brought to you by Aussie Tech Heads Web Hosting, and you can find them at athwebhosting.com.au, and they'll supply you with all your much-needed web space hosting. Go and have a look at them. athwebhosting.com.au. All right, let's get straight into it, eh? Now, if you would have been looking around Google, and like, let's face it, who doesn't look at Google every day? I must look at it 5 times a day at least. Yes, you would have seen through the week the Rubik's Cube. Well, if you didn't know what that was all for, well, you could have hovered over it. But if you still didn't know, because you couldn't read for some reason, it is because the Rubik's Cube turns 40. Can you believe it? 40. Michael, did you ever have a Rubik's Cube?
Absolutely. That's one of the things I was into.
Right.
Bought the book. Could do it.
Really?
My son can do it. Yeah.
Even now?
Even now.
Oh, wow.
Now my son can do it. Yes.
did you get it out on the Google homepage?
No, I didn't get around to doing that, unfortunately.
I got one side out. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed in 40 years. I can get one side. But yeah, there was a Rubik's Cube on the Google as the Google Doodle through the week, and you were able to actually play it like a real Rubik's Cube. So that was all good fun. Now, the current world record wasn't set by Michael. It was set by a guy called Mats Volk. He is from the Netherlands. And recently, as March 2013. Now, have a guess, guys, how fast this guy, I can't believe this. This is just not right. But anyway, his record time of doing the Rubik's Cube, 5.55 seconds. That is just too fast. The world record was set on a 3x3x3 Rubik's Cube. So, like 5 seconds, do you think of how long 5 seconds is? That's about how long it is. it's not very long, is it?
Maybe it was an easy set for him, but, you know.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Change it around.
Yeah, like who, I wonder, how do they mess it all up and all that? But, like, you could only turn it, like, half a dozen times in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing. But anyway, that's the Rubik's Cube. So look, I do have a proper physical one around the house somewhere. I should try and pull it out. But 40 years ago, that's...
I'll teach your kids, Glenn.
Well, I could if they'd be interested.
Sit there and
show
them the Rubik's Cube on the iPad and they'll be wrapped.
Well, that's right. No, I'd rather get the physical one, but anyway. All right. And look, more news about Apple, because I know this is what you're here for, isn't it? Is the Apple retail. So the little shops that you go and see, take your broken stuff to and go and try and scam a new one out of them. The Apple retail store turns 13. Well, there you go, 13 years. So is that since the first one, Michael, the first one that was opened up?
Yep.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Now, there's some stats here. Michael's put some stats in the little show notes, if I can get this thing going. Here we go. Now, in 2008, let's start with 2002, visitors that went to the stores was 2.2 million.
And yeah, they didn't report how many they had in 2001, which is when it actually the first time it opened. So.
Right. So yeah, so 2.2 million, which achieved 5.74 billion. In sales. How long did it take? Do you know, like the first store opened, then how long? Was there a flurry or was there just one store and then, what, a year later, another store? Or like this, surely 2.2 million wasn't just through one store anyway.
No, it wasn't through one store. I'll give you an idea. You keep talking and I'll get the answer for you, my friend.
Okay, so then it brings us to 2008. Now, in 2008, that is the year that the Apple retail stores had the most store openings, 54. Jeez, what a bumper year. And I suppose that was, that was around after the iPhone was first released. So I guess that, you know, they've seen that the trajectory of this little device has just gone up pretty much 90 degrees. So they've gone, let's open up 54 stores. Sweet as. Yeah. So that's what they've done there. And then in 2013, last year, visitors to the retail chain, 395 million. Now that's quite a few. Revenue, 170.91 billion. That is just massive. That's massive.
It just shows you that each person's not spending anywhere near as much as the first people did in 2002.
Oh, did you do the math?
Well, if you do 5.74 divided by 2.2,
yep,
compared to
yes,
170 divided by 395, just so they must get a lot of people window shopping now.
Yeah, tire kickers.
Yeah, going in with their friends with their Android phones going, oh, if only I could have one of these.
That's right. Oh, yes, that is right. I was one of them people. I was one of them people. I had the Samsung Galaxy S, the first one. And I tell you, I after 6 months of using it, that is a miss thing. I couldn't use it. After 6 months of owning it, I just wanted to throw it in the bin and I just turned off the internet. I turned everything off and just used it as a phone. Waited another 18 months for the contract to wear out and then straight into the Apple store. I actually bought it from Telstra over the, jumped on the internet, the week before or whatever. And the phone was delivered to my house, I think on the morning of the availability in store, and it arrived before the store opened. So I was happy.
Virtual lineup, mate. Got you there early.
Yeah, it was. I was happy. I was excited. All right.
So just to answer your question, in 2001 they opened 27 stores.
Yeah, right.
2002 was 13. 2003 was 25.
Yeah, nice.
And last year, as an example, there was 27.
Yeah, right. There's a look in the show notes. Michael's put a link there. And it's it's infoapplestore.com. Is this an official site?
No. But it's where you find all the leaks about what new stores opening, where Apple haven't announced anything, but they've got photos of the walls going up and the glasses get glass walls going up and
yeah, right. There's a lot of stats there. You've got the annual retail financial results. So these would be true. These are taken from the financials lodged with the stock exchange, I'd imagine.
Yep.
So you've got all the stats there. You've got the quarterly, what's over there? The quarterly retail financial results. You've got the revenue, Apple Inc. retail stores revenue. Nice little graph there. Oh, is that what 7 billion looks like in numbers? Look at all those zeros. Wow. That's 9 zeros for people that don't know. 9 zeros. That's some sort of money. Now, there's profit. Look at that.
That's
profit.
What we get normally, isn't it? Nine zeros. We don't get any number in front of it. That's
right. No, we get we get zeros in front of the number. So there's a profit, and that still has got 9 digits, like before the one. I mean, after the one. So one, it's just a lot. So you got visitors. There's graphs for everything, Michael. This is a great little page. So contribute. Yeah. So it's all at infoapplestore.com. There is a little sub URL there. You'll have to go to the show notes to get the the right, you know, get bang on that page. But yeah, it's incredible. But yeah, I noticed that the Apple stores have been starting to just open up all over the place. Like in Australia, even there's quite a few. There's a couple in Sydney, isn't there? How many do you reckon in the greater Sydney area?
Oh yeah, do this again. So we've got Hornsby, Bondi. The George Street in the city, Haymarket, Penrith. I'm sure I'm missing one. There's another one on me.
We'll call it six.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just down there. I think what up
Newcastle.
Here. Yeah, Newcastle as well. There's one in, up here, there's Robina. There's what now a couple, I think, in Brisbane, including that new one that opened up just last year in that big old, is it the MacArthur building or whatever it was?
Yeah.
So that one's going strong. But yeah, they're opening all over the show. Yes, and thanks to everyone that entered the thanks to everyone. thanks to everyone who thought about entering the competition to get a gift card, a $20 gift card. There we go. There's one of them there. And I'll tell you whose name's on this one. See that one right there? I'm holding up, flashing around like no one's business. This one belongs to Matty D. So good on you, Matty D. All he did was give us a review on the iTunes store, audio or video podcast. Just write a review, and I'll tell you, His review was, let me have a read of it here. Yeah, an excellent podcast for Mac and iOS devices. They provide great stories, tips, and answer email questions. Just what the doctor ordered. You can even get a kiss. Oh, yeah, off the host too, if you like. Seriously, great stuff. Oh, good stuff, Matty. Matty D. Aussie. Good on you. We'll send me your details, glenn@aussiemaxzone.com.au, and I'll send that out to you post-haste. And I'll send you a kiss in the envelope as well. watch out when you open it. I'll just hit you in the face. All right. So, yeah, if you want, there's another one this week. So you better get in fast. There's not many left. So there's another one. Best one of the week. It gets one of those vouchers. So snap, snap. All right, Michael, what else have we got going this week?
Yes, it's been an interesting week in that Apple and Google and then Apple and Samsung have stopped fighting. There's peace in the playground at the moment.
Isn't this good? Isn't that good?
And not only that, they've agreed to team up and start picking on some other group about the current patent office laws.
Yeah, so they're going to pick on the patent office apparently. So
yeah, get in.
Well, this is encouraging. This is encouraging from the point of view that obviously, even though they look like they're at each other hammer and tong and they hate each other, but then they're obviously just protecting their own interests, which they'd probably rather not have to do anyway. So,
yeah, I would think. And I think because it's some of the things are pretty silly, and we'll discuss that in a minute on another one.
Right.
It's just, you know, how you know, Americans known for being a bit Sue friendly. They're suing everybody all the time.
Yes. So, yeah. Well, they seem to be, and it is slowly creeping out over here, isn't it? But you know, like, the patent office, you know, I think, I don't know what the problem is. I don't think you shouldn't be able to patent generic sort of items or terms or whatever. I don't know. You know, like,
and I think it's just the workload, you'd reckon? Yeah, because you think of how much stuff people would be trying to patent and how many people they would have need to go through and actually like study it instead of just going, oh yeah, that looks all right, tick.
Yeah.
We'll wait to see if anyone complains about it.
Now we want to get an expert view here, and we have the expert who's just joined us.
The expert is here, yep.
Hi Jace, how you going?
Greetings, gentlemen. I was just being fitted for my iWatch. Oops, did I give that away?
A tailored fit out, eh? Nice work.
Absolutely.
Nice work.
Yeah, we're standing in that measuring system we were talking about a couple of weeks ago.
With lasers. What more could you want?
He was getting his wrist lasered.
That's right. But this time,
absolutely.
This time he's had to stick his arm into a little container and all funny things happened.
Secret little box, yeah. That's
right. It was just your arm, wasn't it? Yeah, okay. Now, we were talking about
it. Look, just like a turkey's butt, did it?
Yes. Now, we were talking about. Yeah, sorry, Jase. I was just going to say, I don't know.
I was just saying, we don't need to go into that. Yeah, patents.
If you got the gist of what we were talking about, but the Apple and Google and Samsung have stopped fighting each other over the patents that they're obviously disputing against each other. Do you have any thoughts on that? That's probably a good idea. They're going to pick on the patent office?
Yeah, look, I think it's just getting crazier and crazier, and it needs to stop it at some time, because I think in the last couple of weeks there's actually been a pattern now around APIs and calls you can make, right. Which it's nearly getting as stupid as being able to patent words and letters and things like that. So it's just getting out of control. Yeah. So yeah, I just think it's just going to go crazy till it explodes.
Or implodes. But yeah, like
implodes, whichever way.
Yeah, it might do both. It might just be one of those.
Could I get a patent on that?
Yes. An implode, explode kind of thing. Yeah. Was I going to say? I don't know. Something. I forget now.
Trademark's another thing, just on the same sort of topic. One of my customers got a cease and desist from a company who say that they've got the trademark for the word cafe curtain or cafe blind, cafe blind.
Right.
Which they've had cafe blinds for like 1,000 years.
Yeah. Look,
and this company in Western Australia reckon they've got the trademark on it.
Yeah, because the other thing I didn't find that I liked too much is when they started patenting the DNA, you know, all this sort of stuff. Like they didn't invent it. You know, like, I don't think they should be able to patent DNA just quietly. That's my opinion. But, yeah, just things like that. Cafe blind, that seems a bit silly, doesn't it? But anyway, that's the way the world is, I suppose.
Yeah, crazy. Oh,
crazy. All right, crazy. Now, Michael, you've got a tip for us this week. We'll move straight into your tip of the week. And what do you got this week?
Yeah, so with the iOS 7.1, the new high definition colors, it's very bright. The typefaces are very small for a lot of people. Oldies like myself, where the eyesight's going a bit. So there's a couple of different options. So if you launch the settings app on your phone or your iPad in 7.1 or higher, tap on general, choose accessibility. And the next menu, you can tap on increase contrast. And then you can turn on the option to darken colors or reduce the white point. And this just gives you more definition. There's also a make font size, change font sizes.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Just makes it all a little bit easier for people that are a bit harder seeing or just, you know, a little bit older.
Aging.
Yes.
So, now,
the rest of the population of Australia.
Yes, indeed the world. Now, what sort of settings do you like? So you said as you're getting older, the eyesight's fading a tiny bit. So you've got to increase the contrast. Is that what you're saying? You're one that wants
just the darken. The increase the contrast and darken the colours.
Give it a boost.
Just a pretty simple. Yeah. Doesn't change it very much, but I have trouble seeing. If something's dark, and I'm not talking about at night, I can be working on my car and just that part's in a darker area, I can't see it.
Yeah, it gets a bit crazy, doesn't it? You got to put the light on these days.
And that's in the middle of the day, you know? Like
our young friend over in the other corner, I don't think he has those problems yet. Do you have those problems, Jace? Eagle-eyed Jace?
Oh, not at all. And I told you guys, if you keep doing it, you go blind and you just don't listen.
We refuse. Yeah, so, well, speaking of cars there, Michael was working on his car. Michael has got a little car. If you're looking at the video, there is a car in the background there. And Michael, what car, let me switch to you when you start speaking. What car is that? Because it's of special interest. What is it? Where'd you get it? And what do you got it for?
It's a big dollar model. It's a 1980 Porsche that was driven at Le Mans, and it's actually the Apple Porsche. So it's got the old Apple stripes down the side, the multicolored stripes.
Yeah, nice.
And Alan Moffat was one of the three drivers that drove it at Le Mans and in America at Daytona.
Now, did you get this because you're into car racing or just because it was Apple related?
Well, both. At two tie-ins, because I've been lucky enough to work as a gopher for Alan Moffat and got a good compliment off him for one crew that I used to look after, and also the apple tie-in. So
right.
I could write it off as a tax deduction and put it in the shop on display.
Oh, hideous work, hideous. Now, so what do you mean gophering? Tell us more about that. Was that golfing?
No, gophering.
Yeah.
Go for this, go for that. Just
burn okay.
The young bloke that does all the crap work. But I did that for a lot of people, and it was great fun. Learn a lot.
Being the tea skirt. Just getting teas and coffees and all that sort of stuff. Oh, good stuff.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah,
hold this tire, paint this wheel, whatever.
Oh, you were so like that when you were younger. Webpage, Facebook, Twitter, wherever it is, you can find us or email us even. You can email us at Glenn, Michael, or Jason with a Y at aussiemaxzone.com.au. Catch us on the Facebook at facebook.com/AussieTechHeads or catch us on the webpage at aussiemaxzone.com.au where Michael puts up a few little stories every day that caught his interest and are relevant for that day. So good on you, Mike. All right. Now, question time. And every now and then, like every week, I'll have a question. Now, a couple of weeks ago, you might have heard that my little iPad was going a bit slow and, you know, I thought, oh, this is no good. So what I did is I updated it to that iOS 7.1. I restored it. So I wiped it, restored it back from a factory restore backup-y thing that, you know, you told me what to do. But I find that it's still going a little bit slowish and sluggish just with the internet. Well, I think that's what it is. Like, I open Safari and there's like a lag, just a big, big lag before it even sort of wants to move to the next stage, if you know what I mean. So I'm thinking that it's having trouble just connecting to the Wi-Fi or something. You know, there's just a little lag there. But once it sort of gets over itself, it's not too bad. But it's just that initial thing. And I've got another iPad too, which doesn't do that same thing. It has a slight lag, but not a big lag like mine one has got. But anyway, Michael, you've given me a suggestion to check tonight, and I will go back and do this diligently after the show. what is your suggestion, please?
So I think if you go into settings, go to Wi-Fi, and next to the name of your base station, there's a circle with an I in it.
Yep.
And then in there, if you can find out what your ISP suggests or your DNS settings and put those in instead of just the number that your router normally is, like, you know, 10.0.1.1 or 192.168.0.1 or whatever.
Yep.
Put in the DNS. That'll always improve it. Just it'll make fractions of seconds different every time you want to look something up. You just put your two DNSs. Say you go to Telstra, just do a Google search for Telstra New South Wales DNS or Telstra Queensland DNS or Optus Queensland DNS, Vodafone, whatever
it is.
Put whatever they recommend in there.
Now, I do know with the Telstra ones that there is, if you do Google it, you will get a page and it has every state of Australia has a set of the DNS IP addresses.
Yeah, and there's generally two.
Yes, that's right. So you just pick out the ones that you like. Well, not the ones that you like. I like that one. I'll pick out the ones that you have to pick out, like your state ones, and bung them in. I can check that out.
You could use the Google one, which is 8.8.8.8, but I just thought that was a bit slow every time I've tried to use that.
Well, I suppose.
And another thing in your particular case, Glenn, if it's trying to sync your Safari bookmarks to it every time it opens up. You've got a fair few bookmarks compared to the other one if it's on a different account, for example, or you haven't got bookmarks syncing bookmarks turned on one and you have on the other. Maybe that's
okay.
That came to me while you were talking.
Because I do have bookmarks on there. I only noticed that setting the other day, and I'm thinking, do I really need these? I did leave them on. Maybe I should take them off, like do not display. That would disable them. Would it?
Yeah, there's a slider there that says, you know, not to sync them up between your devices.
All right, I'm onto it. I'm onto that. Good stuff. Well, I'm gonna go and suss that one out. Jace, did you have anything to add to that, or that's pretty much all you can think of as well? That's about it.
Yeah, look, I think that's certainly the next thing that I'd be trying, given that you've already done the restore. And that's probably not a bad tip anyway, even on your desktop machines and that, if things maybe are a little bit slower than what you're expecting, because DNS does some funny things sometimes. So moving from your, even on your home machines or router from your one given by your ISP can sometimes help things move along a bit.
Yeah, so I think...
The other point I was going to make is if you use something, some of the services, DNS services, can also do some, if you've got children in the household and that, do some protection against being able to stop access to naughty websites and things like that. So there is that other advantage as well.
Yeah, I think a good one for that is OpenDNS.
OpenDNS is probably the
most well known.
I guess well known one, and it does that very well.
Mm. And so I think, like as Michael said, the Google DNS servers. Who knows where the DNS servers are located? But you think the Google DNS servers would be nowhere near here? I could be totally wrong.
Just giving them more and more information.
But you'd think that the Telstra ones would be local. So if you're on Telstra, go and set yourself up with your state's local Telstra ones, and that should. You can do I don't know how you can do this on the Mac. Actually, can you do like a trace route on the Mac or something similar? I'm sure you can. You must be able to.
Absolutely, it came from Unix.
So I don't know, even though maybe that's another question for another day. How do you do a trace route on the Mac? But we might put that one in for next week, can we?
Yep. Oh yeah, we can do a whole session on terminal and command line. But,
sweet.
lots of fun things to do in Unix commands.
All right, well let's move away now to the backouts of Macomb County. Oh, Jace, they tell me with good authority that you know all about the backouts and the bouquets.
The bouquets?
Yeah, Mrs. Bouquet. Do you know about this one? Plaintiffs, the civil action against Apple?
Yes, it's the one to do with iMessage.
Yes.
Plaintiffs, Adam, yeah. Bouquet. It's a little, an episode of Keeping Up Appearances, isn't it? Maybe some US relatives. Anyway, Bouquet or Backout or Bucket or whatever they are, launched a class action against Apple in San Jose. And the case relates to Apple's iMessage not delivering text messages to Android smartphones. So maybe for all you conspiracy theorists out there, Mark would probably be onto that one. Maybe there's something in that. Latest lawsuit was filed just yesterday, and a day after another Californian, Adrienne Moore, filed her class action over the very same issue. But I think I wouldn't be looking too far that Apple aren't delivering iMessages to Android smartphones. There's plenty of instances of iMessage not going between iPhone to iPhone as well. So. I think there's something.
Look, for the life of me, unless I'm missing something, I can't work out what these people are on. Fair dinkum. Apple created this piece of software for themselves called the iMessage. I guess it's theirs. It's no one else's, is it? It's theirs. And so these clowns have said, well, we want to get those iMessages into our Android phone. So why can't I get a Toyota drive shaft in my Ford Explorer?
It's certainly a little bit strange.
It's crazy.
So what the challenge is, I've just bought an Android phone and I've kept my number.
Right.
But on your iPhone, Apple thinks that that number still belongs to an iPhone. And so it goes, Glenn's sending a message to Michael. And so Michael's got an iPhone. We'll send it as an iMessage, even though I no longer have an iPhone.
Right.
It comes back to you as being delivered.
Right.
And I get no message whatsoever because I don't get the iMessages.
That's fair enough, I suppose.
That's where the challenge is, because it's registered with Apple that it's an iPhone number.
Right.
So you've got to go in and you've actually got to Glenn would have to delete me as a user, then put me back in as a user.
So once identified as an iPhone user, you are forever an iPhone user unless you've deleted and come back.
Yeah, that's the challenge.
Well, I suppose obviously there's a little script run right at the start when you add a contact or when the first message is received that goes out and says, "Yo, iPhone," and sends it back. Why can't they just ping it every, month?
I think it's a little bit, problematic because it happens iPhone to iPhone as well, that weird things happen, that messages, say they be delivered and aren't delivered. And there was a bit of a iMessage outage earlier in the year where there was confusion about it and people were having to turn off iMessage to try to get it to force through to SMS. So look, again, unfortunately, it's something that Apple don't do well. Some of these cloud services are not as robust and intelligent as they probably should be. So, yes, it should work, but it doesn't always.
But for me, iMessage, I like it. I think it's great. Because, and even, I think, from iPhone to iPhone, because my little girl, she's got the iPad. It's not cellular or anything. And I set her up with an Apple ID. And because she's got an Apple ID, she can use iMessage to say, mimic an SMS to other Apple users. And it works. And she's stoked.
Yeah, it's good from iPod touches and iPads that aren't over the cellular network. It's a good messaging platform when it works.
All right, if you're looking for something different in your inbox, how about aussietechheads.com.au/paper? It's created twice a day, morning and evening, just like the old paper days, the old paper. And chuck it on your iPad or on your iPhone, wherever, even on your browser. And it just got tech news, it's got business news, sport news, all that sort of stuff. So it's all put together by the whoever's. And the producer's not a bad little read.
I think it's by the magic of the internet, the other word you're looking for, Glenn.
It is, the magical internet, eh? Just like Willy Wonka, but it's the internet. All right, we heard from a fan this week, or Michael heard from a fan this week, I'm glad to say. So, Michael,
a fan, a massive fan.
A massive fan
of the show, yes.
That's good. And, Michael, what does...
That's what we like to hear.
...the massive fan have to say?
So, unfortunately, his wife dropped her iPhone in the sink.
Ooh.
And now the only life we get out of the device is the Apple icon appears in the screen and then nothing else. And they placed the phone in some rice and it's a nice wife's table. It worked for him when he dropped his in the pool. But it's not helped us in this situation. Can you recommend anything or can you repair it?
It wasn't updated to iOS 7 then, I imagine. Remember that story?
That's right. Yeah, put it in the water. That's right. It was waterproof for iOS 7.
That's right.
Yeah. I'd nearly forgotten about that.
Sorry, that was... Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, so firstly, thanks for the compliment from all of us. That was good. And the rice does work. Because I've had a couple of people bring even the whole computer in a whole bag of rice just to keep it there. But
is it worth pointing out that that shouldn't be fried rice or cooked rice, Glenn? Just to Glenn and Michael, just to make sure that we're clear on that.
Okay. The honey rice, that no go? No, okay.
Dry rice.
Long grain, short grain, does it matter? Brown rice, white rice? Just dry.
Maybe
rice.
A bit of jasmine, for a bit of fragrance.
Again, I think I put something in one of our news articles a week or so ago about what the best rice was. It was long, I can't remember what it was now, long grain or something. But getting back to our poor man, a couple of things is you need to put it in the sun for a couple of days because the reason the sun's important is the humidity is easier to dry than particles of water. Sort of activates, thins out the water, which lets the rice suck it up better.
Right.
But the biggest issue is you need to disconnect the battery as soon as possible, as the moisture and electricity is starting anyway at the circuits and the connectors inside. Just called electrolysis. That's how they make chrome or, do plating on metal parts.
Oh, yeah.
Electricity and a liquid, So off the record, take it to a repairer as soon as possible to have the battery disconnected. Even if you just take it into, there's a mob that I like called iExperts.com.au.
Yep.
And you just take it in, get them to take the back off, disconnect the battery, and then put it in your bag of rice and leave it in the sun for a few days. Make a huge difference. Just the sooner you can actually get that battery off, the better.
So is so did he mention what type of phone it was? Like iPhone what?
Awesome. No, but it, you know, I'd reckon 4 or 5.
Yeah. Know. So something that'd be out of warranty, you'd imagine. So you pretty much got
not necessarily, but if it's they've got moisture sensors in them.
Yep.
Make it go a big red dot when it gets too much moisture in it.
Yeah, so. Okay. So, but is it worth him trying to open it himself, like to get the battery out, or is that just too hard?
Right. It's not taking the battery out. You just got to disconnect it. But right. You know, you do need some really small screwdrivers, and sometimes, like some of the Apple 4s and the 5s don't have Phillips head screws on the bottom. They have the little Torx screwdrivers, and they're really small, so you can't just go to the average tool shop or Bunnings or Masters or whatever to get one that small.
Right.
So it's just one of those things, and a lot of people don't feel confident, but if you just get them to disconnect the battery, and the same thing applies to a computer, you drop water on your laptop, whatever brand of laptop it is, disconnect the battery, take it out straight away. That's the first thing. Or, you know, if it's a MacBook Air, take it to someone that's got the tools to disconnect the battery. And
yeah, okay. And so you reckon...
most important thing.
So you stick it in a bucket of rice or whatever and in the sun?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And so how long do you reckon, like a good summer's day or a couple of winter's days? Or how does that work?
Yeah, a couple of winter's days.
Yeah, in the sun. And then when you think does the rice get a bit... well, not soggy, but how do you know when to take it out?
Oh, no, you can't really tell on the rice because there's so much rice in, rice in there to how much water is actually in your device. But it definitely makes a difference warming everything up, warming that liquid up so it starts to evaporate,
right.
Which then the rice can absorb it once it's evaporated out of your phone.
So the only time that your device would be, say, cactus is like that if you've left, if the power or something has arced inside it. Like, is that?
Yeah, because if you got, even people try plugging it in again, so they're actually forcing power into it.
Yeah.
Because there's all little cables inside that are putting power to, from one board to another, for example.
So
good. Just start eating away because you get moisture inside it. What's an example? You've seen connectors that have got 5 or 6 wires in them. You imagine water sitting in all of those. It's just arcing across all of the wires, and some might be positive and some might be ground. So.
Yeah. And I had something that fell into some water once. I can't remember now what it was, but I put it in the sun, dried it out, didn't work. I never thought of the rice business. But anyway, too late now. I think I kicked it on the street.
Well, they even sell bags now for you to put it in, which has got super, it's just got...
super rice.
Yeah, it's just... just got crystals in it to absorb it, but it's still getting the power disconnected. It's more important than anything else. That's what does the damage.
And then when it's all fixed up, when it's all disconnected, they can send it to IT help to you, Michael, if they want.
Yeah, we can go from there and work it out for them.
Yeah, good stuff. So ithelptoyou.com.au and Michael look after you. All right. Now something, Michael, you've learned something else this week.
I've got a headache, man. Brain swelling. So,
what have you learned?
I create some movies for customers from photos that they've sent me. And because I've upped the resolution, we used to make a CD with an iPhone version of the movie, and we'd make a DVD of the movie. Right. And because I've upped the resolution, the CDs fail during playback. So you put a CD in a start and it'll lose the audio and it'll be very skippy. But if you copy that same file from that CD to any computer, everything works properly again. So it's just that the CDs can't transfer the information out the disc fast enough for full HD.
Right. Wow. Well, there you go.
So just be aware. It'll work great if you're just transferring the information, but if you wanted to play it, you just copy... instead of copying it to a CD now, just burn it to a DVD because they transfer the information to your computer faster.
Well, it's not really. Why are people buying CDs today in this day and age? Oh, it'd be just all. Well, if you're going to buy a CD, you might as well buy a DVD, wouldn't you? A
DVD, that's right. Well, they're actually cheaper than CDs anyway, but.
Yeah, right.
People were just used to, you know, because the files used to be 250 meg and now they're 400.
Yeah. I actually went through my mind this today, actually, because I did have a necessity to use a CD, must use a CD. And I thought, that's weird, because I thought, I hope I've got one, because everyone's got, I've only got DVDs. But what I was using it for was a diagnostic CD for PCs.
I thought it might have been a Michael Bolton.
Well,
a bit of Kenny G, a bit of relaxing music.
Yeah, I need some. What was I listening to the other day? I had to put Johnny Cash on to de-stress me. So the CD. You think that the CDs would read fast, wouldn't you? Because like they're smaller, not hold as much as a DVD, but it doesn't work like that. But anyway,
it's just the transfer rate's not there.
Yeah, and I used the CD. That's right, because I needed the CD, because when I go out on site, not everyone's got a DVD. Most people do have, but there's that one person that's got an RS computer. That won't have a DVD drive. Mm.
Yeah.
All right. Jase, anything else from you this week?
I just had one small one. I noticed a story today that going up for auction soon, if you've got some spare coin, is the original coloured Apple logos that were on the building at One Infinite Loop. So they were the coloured version of the Apple logo.
Right.
And the other real thing that they said to have had weathered appearance. Indicating maybe a starting price of $10,000, but that would certainly be a quite unique souvenir to get for yourself.
Now, where would you find this auction? I would highly doubt that's on eBay.
I think it was
Christie's or something
like a Sotheby's. It wasn't a Sotheby's or Christie's, but it was something, you know, one of the firms like that.
Yeah, of course it wasn't eBay. It was Gumtree. Yeah,
Gumtree.
Find it on Gumtree. Just ring them up. I love it. Expand the full number. Ring them up. One Infinite Loop. That's the way to go. All right. Well, I think that just brings about to the end of the show. So thanks, guys. Thanks for coming in. Thanks, Jase.
Always a pleasure, and we'll see everyone next week.
Good stuff. And thanks, Michael. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks, everyone, for putting up with us again.
All right. Good stuff. And we'll see you guys next time we're on, which would be next week. So, good stuff. Don't forget the thingo, the competition, and the review on the iTunes audio or video. So until next week, bye-bye, everyone.